This is the show stealer Nathan Cruz, and you're listening to the Indie Corner. Screw indie. I'm a pro.
Welcome to episode 96 of the Indie Corner, guys, with myself, Stuart Rogers. It's been a while since we've done a show, but, you know, last weekend there was a couple of big shows over here in the UK and over in America. And we've had some reviews sent in for both of them shows. Of course, the ones from over here in the UK are the Progress Wrestling Super Strong Style 16 shows, which took place on Sunday and Bank Holiday Monday. So we've got reviews of them coming up from Dave Green. And from over in the US on Friday, I believe it was, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla had their latest DDT 4 show and the Tag Team Tournament show. So, from really good shows from all accounts once again. PWG going through a bit of a transition, you know, losing guys to like the WWE and things like that, and then obviously you've got Ring of Honor that won't allow their talent to work on their show, so, you know, some different faces turning up in PWG. So like I said, they're going through a bit of a transitional period at the moment, so yeah, but you know, they're keeping up that great work ethic and you know, and crowds that are going to watch the shows and then watching the shows on DVD afterwards, you know, really getting into the product. So yeah, the standard hasn't dropped, but yeah, a bit of a transition period for PWG. So before we get into the views, just have a little bit of a talk. I believe it was this Wednesday just gone, some news broke about Ring of Honor. You know, they signed a deal to air on the TV channel known as Destination America from Wednesday the 3rd of June. Now, you know, Ring of Honor's TV show had already had limited exposure via the Sinclair Broadcasting Group. And also, obviously, their TV show airs on their website for their subscribers first and then, like, free for everyone else at a later point in the week. And of course, now they're going to be on Destination America, which I believe is part of the Discovery Channel's network. So, you know, people will have an opportunity to see them a lot more. I'll cover it because it'd be wrong for me not to cover it. Currently on Destination America, of course, on Wednesdays, the same day that Ring of Honor are going to air, he's going to be is TNA with their Impact show. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the last week or so that Destination America are dropping TNA later in the year. Now, I'm not clear if this is the case, but for now, you know, as it stands, Ring of Honor will lead into TNA on Wednesday night. The word is that many of the TNA roster that, you know, have worked, a lot of them have worked in Ring of Honor in the past, were, shall we say, you know, quite annoyed at not being told by Dixie Carter or upper management in Ring of Honor that, you know, this was going to be announced. You know, they had to find out basically when the announcement was made, whereas I think Dixie Carter did know beforehand that it was going to be announced, and she kept it to herself. So yeah, they're not too happy, and I suppose this is understandable. One last thing on this, you know, as both promotions are on the same network, you know, just a case as us as fans, you know, can just sit back and imagine maybe some cross promotion between the two promotions, you know. And the question is, you know, how do you think that would go? Wouldn't it be a great idea? For me, I think, you know, it could be an interesting one indeed. Over on IndieCorner.com, Justin DiVigilio has written a little piece about, you know, Ring of Honor heading to Destination America. So head over there and check that out. for ado now, guys, let's have a quick break and then we'll be right back with Dave Green's review of night one or day one of Progress Wrestling Super Strong Style 16.
Hi there everyone, this is Dave Green here on Indie Corner, and I'm back with you once again for another review, and this time it is a Progress from this past weekend for their Super Strong Style 16 tournament that took place last Sunday and Monday, the weekend which has been much anticipated by many fans across the entire nation, so we'll get straight on to it. I'll review day one first of all, and then later on we'll do a separate review of day two. So we had day one, which was basically every first round match of the tournament plus a tag team main event, which we'll come to in a little while. So the first match up in the tournament, first round match, was Will Ospreay taking on El Ligero. As you can imagine, very high flying, high impact match up this one. Good 10 minutes of great action. Will Ospreay eventually advancing over El Ligero with the Essex Destroyer. Next up, we had match two, which was Mark Haskins against the gentleman Jack Gallagher, making his Progress debut. Really enjoyed this match. It's probably my favourite of the night. This one, very submission-based, as you can imagine. Mark Haskins actually getting, surprisingly, the submission win over Jack Gallagher this time. Not surprised that Haskins won, just the way he did it with a, I don't know what he calls it. It's been called a stretch muffler, it's been called Brock Lock, it's been called lots of different things, but it's that move. I'm sure you're all picturing it now. But anyway, a really good matchup, my favourite of the first day. Next up, big heavyweight clash was Rampage Brown taking on Big Daddy Volta, making his Progress debut. And as you can imagine, big high-impact match with a lot of power to space. Rampage constantly trying to go for the Samoan drop throughout the matchup, but Walter just being too big for him, eventually did hit the Samoan drop and then finished him off with the pile driver, which is very impressive to see. And Rampage advances to the next round. Next match was Roderick Strong versus Tommy End in what was probably the most anticipated match of the entire day. And I have to be honest, I'm going to buck the trend here and say I wasn't all that keen on this matchup. Roderick and Tommy was being sort of purported as being a really special match, but I felt it was too slow to get going. I'm very much in the minority on this one, but I felt it was really too slow to get going. When it did get going, the last 5 or 6 minutes, when Tommy End was back on offense, was absolutely superb. And more like that, and I probably would have been more happy with it. But I probably built the match up too much in my own mind, and what I thought it was going to be, and how it was going to be wrestled. But nevertheless, the last 5 or 6 minutes was fantastic, and Roderick Strong actually did defeat Tommy End, who a lot of people were picking to win the tournament, with his suplex backbreaker move. I think it's called End of Heartache. I think it's called other names as well, but I'm not sure which one it is, but he won with that move. Anyway, Tommy End losing actually set up what was the big angle in the entire night, which was the reveal of the Faceless. Finally, nearly a year after it all started, with all the various tweets and posters being put up around the ballroom, we finally got the big reveal. So, two members of the Faceless, dressed up as such, attacked Tommy End in the ring. Then a suited member of the Faceless came out in the original Faceless mask. Clearly this was the leader, and he beckoned to the two guys in there to take their masks off. They took them off to reveal, not surprisingly, Danny Garnell and Damon Moser. Then the suited member of the Faceless gestured to the curtain, and out came El Ligero, who apparently is part of the Faceless as well. They both made their way to the ring, and the leader unmasked himself to reveal Nathan Cruz. I mean, Nathan did cut a very long promo explaining their actions and their reasons for such. If you want to get a full scoop on it, then you can look at a previous podcast episode from last year, an interview with Nathan Cruz, where he does actually tell the sort of the actual story behind his disappearance from Progress. But that was the main sort of reason behind it all. Confusingly, later on, though, they decided to kick Danny Garnell out of the group entirely. And then they announced that they were no longer the Faceless, they were now the Origin. Nathan Cruz and Elgo claimed the tag titles for themselves, so they are officially the tag team champions now, with Damon Moser being their lackey. After the interval, Tommy Yang came out and announced that he was cashing in the number one contendership to the Tag Shields, and that Michael Dante was on his way over, so that was the first match made for Day 2, not involving tournament people, of course, which was, of course, the Sumerian Death Squad challenging the Origin. More on that later on. Back to the tournament after that, and the next matchup was Mighty Skull taking on Eddie Dennis. A nice, tidy little match, this, with Mighty Skull doing a really great counter for the next stop driver from Eddie Dennis, actually going over the top of him and locking in the chicken wing submission for the tap out to advance. The next matchup was Dave Mastiff taking on Noam Dar. These two already have a little bit of a rivalry going from the events of Progressor Mania, and the matchup took a bit of a strange turn when both men hit the most convincing-looking head-to-head spot I've ever seen in any wrestling. Noam Dar really taking the brunt of it, constantly wishing that the referee would not stop the match and for it to continue, but Mastiff constantly took advantage of the head injury. Noam did try to lock in the champagne super knee bar at various points, but eventually Mastiff just got on top and just pounded away at him to the point where Mark Parry had to stop the match and allow Dave Mastiff to advance via referee stoppage. Match 7 was the debuting Tommaso Ciampa taking on the huge Damo O'Connor. Big sort of striking power match, as you can imagine. Ciampa trying at various points, I think, to try and doing power moves that maybe he didn't take Damo's size into consideration for some of the stuff. Some scary moments a little bit here and there, but overall really good match with Ciampa actually hitting his Project Ciampa, kind of, on Damo for the win to advance. And the final first round match was the Battle of the Zacks. Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Zach Gibson. Gibson requesting that Sabre stay away from his broken finger during the match, and that he stated he wouldn't do any cheating, he would play it absolutely fair like he always does. Well, the great wrestling match that it was, if you can imagine, between these two, eventually Gibson went for a thumb to the eyes. Sabre decided that was cheating, so he locked in the armbar, pulling on the broken fingers to get the submission and advance in the tournament. Final match of the night for day one was the big return of the London Riots, taking on Regression in the form of Jimmy Havoc and Paul Robinson. As you can imagine, a wild matchup. Didn't go all over the place as much as I thought it was going to, but certainly a high impact match with some great some heat from the crowd. And actually had a bit of a history-making moment as the Riots hit the pop-up spear on Jimmy Havoc, and Havoc was pinned for the first time since, I think, Chapter 8. So it's been a long time coming, but pinned for the first time in Progress in a long, long time by the Riots, and the Riots win their comeback match. So that's it for Day 1 of the Super Strong Style 16 tournament from Progress Wrestling. So that was day one, and we'll go on to day two later on in the podcast. For now, I'm Dave Green, and I'll see you in a little bit. Bye.
Hey, this is the Pride of Wales, Eddie Dennis from Defend Indie Wrestling, and you're listening to the best independent wrestling podcast in the UK, the Indie Corner.
And we're back, guys. Thanks to Dave for that. He'll be back later on with part two of his reviews, obviously, which is day two of the Progress Super Strong Start 16 tournament. You know, Progress have their on-demand service, of course, and I'm sure, you know, this tournament will be available very soon on there. But as normal, you know, they're releasing the shows on DVD. This time, this weekend, is going to be over 5 discs at the cost of £35. You know, it's a bit steep, of course, and it's a lot cheaper if you was to watch it via on-demand, but, you know, I prefer the DVD, so I have forked out the money and paid for mine. I believe they're going to start shipping at the end of end of June. So if you are interested in getting them and you haven't seen the emails or the announcements or anything like that from Progress, head over to progresswrestling.com, because they're only going to be a limited number made, and like I say, basically once they've gone, and then probably all, the only availability of getting to see the shows will be the on-demand service, like I say, which isn't a bad thing and a bit more affordable to an extent. But if you want the DVDs, head over to progresswrestling.com. And what we'll do now, we're going to Brian's review of DDT4. Like I say, you know, PWG, like I said at the start of the show, PWG, bit of a transitional period, but this show seemed seemed just as exciting as all the others, when all the other guys, the more well-known guys, were there as well. There's still more well-known guys here in PWG now, but, you know, it's all looking good. So, yeah, we'll go straight into that now, guys. Enjoy, and we'll be back in a bit.
PWG Live Report. I went to DDT 4 2015, and it was quite the weird night. You know, great wrestling overall. You know, it's always great wrestling and great crowds with PWG, but this was the one night where the booking seemed kind of off. Basically, what happened was, essentially, as you know, some of you may know, the AIW's JT Lightning Invitational Tournament was booked the same time as Bola. DDT 4, and essentially the shared workers of the two promotions had to, basically make the other show, essentially. So what happened was Monster Mafia had to go to Cleveland, blah, 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 and from what I've heard, Monster Mafia were supposed to win the whole thing. So, yeah, politics, people. Not necessarily politics, just catching flights, everybody, and booking yourselves into a corner and all that kind of thing. So, you know, the booking was just weird because of the flight situations and whatnot, but still a very good overall show, excellent matches. Let me just start off with the first round. The show opened up with Team Tremendous against the Beaver Boys. Team Tremendous making their debut. They got over really huge as baby faces, which is kind of surprising because they play cops, and cops in LA don't really mix, so that was kind of surprising. They got over really well. I mean, Bill Carr, I mean, he seems like a guy that WWE, he wasn't WWE in developmental, actually, but he seems like he should be in WWE right now, beating up the smaller guys, getting that big guy heat. I mean, he's got a lot of mobility and a lot of great movement for a big guy. I mean, he delivered one of the best boss man slams I've ever seen, and I've never seen a crowd pop so big for a boss man slam like that before, and that was pretty incredible. Bill Carr did some crazy stuff. He did a Canadian Destroyer, you know? I mean, that's insane for that guy. For a guy that size to do that. So that was pretty crazy. You know, Dan Barry did some great dives as well. And just, they got so over with the crowd. What a great showing for Team Tremendous. I did not expect that kind of reaction. I didn't realize they were that big of a big deal, I guess you'd say, on the indies. But they came in and just fit right in, you know? And the style matched with the PWG style. They had some great comedy with the whole putting the guy in the corner and being like, "Where's little girl?" That's Team Tremendous' shtick. So, it got over really well. Beaver Boys played great heels for them, bumped around for them. But Beaver Boys ended up getting the win with a heel roll-up finish with the tights and everything. So there's bullshit chants after that, and I'll get back to those bullshit chants later on because it's just kind of weird with the Beaver Boys. So, you know, bullshit chance because of the finish. But Team Tremendous, man, they got over really well. And I think, if anything, they made their case for a PWG title run right off the bat. Because they would be great tag team champions, I think. They got off really well with the crowd. Their style would fit with any of the teams, you know, in PWG. So, a great showing for Team Tremendous. The next match was the Inner City Machine Guns against Biff Busick and Drew Gulak. And this was, you know, a clash of styles, a lot of high flying, contrasting the hard hitting technical prowess. I don't know if it was just me, but they see maybe it was just me and they're reading way too much into it, but they kind of played off this whole subtle tension between Busick and Gulak. Gulak was kind of like, you know, when he was waiting on the apron for the hot tag, he'd be like, come on, man, get the rope, kick out, you know, that kind of shit, like that, kind of like calling out Busick's flaws, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I think if they do a singles feud between those two, I think that'd be great. They had a feud in CZW before, and they worked, you know, they've obviously worked together before, trained together. They got a great chemistry in terms of one-on-one matches. So I think them and SPWG singles feud would be great. They didn't break up at the end of this match though, but still, just a crazy, you know, crazy clash of styles, high flying, you know, crazy suplexes, all that kind of thing, hard hits, hard chops. Really good match all around. Inner City Machine Guns get the win. I gotta say, the crowd is really, really behind Biff Busick, more so than I ever thought. Usually, sometimes when you're in a crowd for a wrestling show and you hear the first note of this wrestler, any wrestler, or a super over wrestler's music, like there's this buzz that the crowd starts buzzing, you know what I mean? Literally before he even comes out. And the crowd just started buzzing for Biff Busick, and I was shocked. So shocked that with his reaction at this show, I wouldn't be surprised if Biff Busick ended up winning Bola, even more so than Trevor Lee at this point, just because I think if you got a guy like Trevor Lee and everyone's expecting him to win Bola, Biff Busick is a great second choice to kind of like be that dark horse to kind of shock everyone, to kind of the way that Kyle O'Reilly did last 2 years ago. Basically, I think Busick is so over at this point that he could, you know, he needs that singles run, and I think they're going to give it to him. You know, this was just, you know, because him and Busick have a history as a tag team, they just booked them as a tag team for the show. So, really good match, and Biff Busick came out, you know, out of this looking really good, to almost to the point where I think he's going to win Bola. And then the next match was, as a replacement for Chris Sabin, he got injured for Love Gun. It was Mike Bailey and Matt Sydal against Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. This match was, on paper, it sounds insane. The match was insane at points. They basically played off the Speedball Mike Bailey Trevor Lee match from the month prior, and basically played off that spot and came up with an even bigger spot to top that spot. And I'm not going to ruin it, but it was pretty damn brutal. And Mike Bailey's a champ, and damn, dude, you took that bump on the apron and you did this other bump, and it's just like, holy shit. You know, crazy match all around. I mean, Mike Bailey had some really good babyface fire getting the hot tag coming in. You know, as you would expect from this match, with the four talents in this match. So, I hope Mike... Okay, this might not sound nice, but I don't think Mike Bailey should win a match until Bola. I think he should just keep losing and build his character as the underdog. You're waiting for him to get that big win, finally, that big first win, and I think opening round of Bola is the perfect place to do it. I think that, there's a lot of potential in Mike Bailey as the perennial babyface. He can almost, if he works hard enough, he can almost get to that Tozawa level of underdog, you know what I mean? And just be that you know, that underdog babyface that everyone goes crazy for, and you're just rooting for the guy because he works so hard. Mike Bailey shined in this match a lot. And, Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett, man, they blend really well as a tag team. I mean, you could have fooled me and said they were cousins, but I don't think they're even related by blood. So, they really clicked really well as a tag team. And then the last opening round match, which shocked everybody, the Monster Mafia won the tag team titles, defeating World's Cutest Tag Team in a big shocker. Some people felt... I mean, the people around me, I was talking with them during the match, and it felt like this was the final. And it felt like the weird booking started kicking here, because it felt like we were watching the final, but in the opening round. And from what I understand, is that Monster Mafia should have left as champs, you know? And essentially, they had to switch the booking around to work out with their flight that they had to catch before the show even ended, I think. And it just made things much more complicated, and therefore the booking got really confusing. Roderick Strong, interfered, and, you know, sit kick to Candice, sit kick to Joey. Joey tries to come back but can't withstand the 2-on-1, and boom, Monster Mafia are the new tag team champions for now. Yeah, just it was just so weird and a little heartbreaking because everyone's just rooting for Candice. So now it's like, are they going to do Candice and Roddy, you know? I mean, that seems like what it's going to be. I mean, Candice did not even respond after the kick. She did not play a part in the finish at all. She was not pinned. She was actually protected. And the way that she was protected, it makes it seem like they're going to do Roddy and Candice. And I'm not against that. I think that it'll be probably Candice's best singles match to date. I mean, Roderick Strong is a miracle worker right now. He's working probably some of his best matches in his career right now. 2015 seems to be the resurgence of Roderick Strong, and he seems to be riding that wave right now. And him and PWG is like this heel that everyone hates because he's doing the right things that heels are supposed to do to get that heel heat. So he's doing the right things to be a heel, and it's working. And I think that, you know, Roddy interfering here just helps, you know, add more fuel to the fire in terms of his heat, so to speak. But basically, it was just so weird because this felt like the final. And the way the crowd was reacting, it felt like a very emotionally invested match that felt like it should have been the final. But because of the booking, because of the crazy, you know, plane schedules and whatnot, the flights and everything to AIW, just things got screwed up, so... Monster Mafia wins. Then we have intermission. We had an extended intermission just because the ring broke. And it was just an accident. It took a while for them to fix it. And High Spots did a great job, you know, literally taping the ring back together. And the show must go on. And I can't help but think that they just added more, you know, more wacky booking to the tournament because it just extended it even longer for Monster Mafia. Because right after intermission, Monster Mafia went out again and lost the title to the Beaver Boys. And this was weird because it was two heel teams. And what was even weirder is that Beaver Boys were getting cheered, even though earlier in the night they were getting booed and chanted bullshit at for having a bullshit heel finish. So it was just so weird. And then, boom, belt shot, heel move to win, beating the other heel team. So we got new tag team champions again. Less than an hour after, you know, the World's Cutest Tag Team losing them. And then we go on to the next semifinal of Inner City Machine Guns against Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. And holy crap, what a match. This was insane. Just crazy dives all around. They played off the Andrew Everett Ricochet match from the month prior as well. Just a lot of great chemistry between the two teams, obviously. They just mesh really well. Their styles, their junior heavyweight styles just clash and mesh really well. What I felt like this match should have been the final. If you were going to do Candice and Joey against Monster Mafia in the final, this felt like a better match. It was actually a better match than the final was, even though the final was a different structured match. This was just a hell of a crazy match, and just one spot after another, and just more insaneness, insaneness right and left, literally all over the place. And essentially, Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett get the win. Rich Swann took the pin, so you know you're protecting Ricochet, which is what you're supposed to do because Ricochet is a guy you got to protect. And I wish this was the final because I think it would have came off better having maybe the Machine Guns win the tag titles in the semifinals as the Shocker, but they went with the Beaver Boys instead. So they in the semifinal they went double face, double heel, heel versus heel and face versus face. So. Again, just weird booking, and it was very strange. And then we went to Johnny Gargano against TJ Perkins. This was kind of the cool-down kind of match, which is kind of weird to say for a Johnny Gargano-TJ Perkins match, but it was definitely the cool-down match. This was more technical-based, more submission-based. Gargano got the win with a Gargano escape. I would say Gargano looks like a guy who can be challenging for the belt, but I don't know. It looks like Candice might be getting a shot just because I'm getting screwed over by Roddy, so... Gargano gets the win, and I think he hasn't lost in a while actually in PWG, so it wouldn't surprise me if they did Roddy, and because they've done Roddy and Gargano before in PWG, but for the belt I think it would be even more awesome just because of the drama. And then we had the three-way match, Brian Cage, Chris Hero, Roderick Strong. Very good match. I thought it could have been better just because I think they could have done more of a story in this match instead of just Roddy picking his spots, being the heel picking his spots and getting his spots in where he can and then stealing the win in the end. Essentially, that's what happened. He knocked a Hero, I think, Cage did like a lariat to Hero and then went, and then Roddy just went right in and just sick kicked to Brian Cage and got the win. you know, they just, this match is essentially just played into Roddy's character and built up his heel character even more. So at least that was the job that got done. And they didn't even tease Candice and Joey coming out. They didn't do any of that at the end of the match. So Roderick Strong just came out at the end looking strong, no pun intended. I was really surprised. I thought maybe Joey Ryan would come out and, you know, start some shit. He didn't start any shit. Candice didn't come out either. So I don't even know if Candice was actually in the building at that point. Cause like I said before, I don't even think she could have technically been in the final because of the flight situation. And she ended up having a family emergency. So she didn't even go to GT Lightning anyway. So this match wasn't, you know, this wasn't weird. It was what I expected. This was probably the only match on the show that probably Gargano and TJ Perkins where I expected I expected what to happen at the end. And then we had the final of Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett against the Beaver Boys. Again, new tag team champions in Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee. This probably stood out more than all the matches in DDT4 because this was based around. They worked around Andrew Everett's leg, basically. The Beaver Boys just worked on his leg the whole match, and they did an old-school kind of match where they just, you know, worked the body part, told that as the story of the match, built up to a hot tag to Trevor Lee, and, you know, after some back-and-forth action, Trevor Lee gets a small package to win the match and the titles. But it was just... it's great to see these guys as champs. They totally deserve it. But, you know, I don't think they're supposed to be champs. I don't think that was the plan at all. So... there are a lot of storylines that seem to be, you know, planted for the summer that I don't think they're going to do now because Trevor Lee is a tag champion. Candice is no longer the tag champion. Monster Mafia won the belts, but I don't think... I don't know. It's wacky. It's wacky. And then you got, you know... because everyone... I mean, I've been saying that Trevor Lee should be the one taking the belt from Roddy. They should build up to it and package pile driver and all that kind of thing. But I don't even know if Roddy's going to be at the anniversary show now because he's booked for Ring of Honor. Or I don't know if he's officially booked for Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, and the anniversary show in July for PWG are on the exact same day. God knows what that could mean. Just craziness. Utter craziness. I really don't know what to expect now. I heard one suggestion where you do you bring back the ladder match for the anniversary show, and you put in all the teams that were the previous champions, and that way everyone gets the rematch, and then you can put the titles back on Monster Mafia. So I think that would be a great idea to do, and then you would set up another big match. I don't know, maybe give the belts back to the world's cutest tag team down the line, because I really don't think they're going to give the world heavyweight title to Candice, if they do Roddy and Candice. If anything, maybe Candice costs Roddy the belt and you set up a guerrilla warfare match between Roddy and Candice at the anniversary show or something like that. Because they obviously made it seem like Roddy and Candice is the thing. I mean, with Candice being protected in the finish, even though, you know, Strong kicked her in the face, she was still protected in the finish. And I think that was a key element in all this. So it just makes me think that Roddy and Candice is down the direction instead of going back to Trevor Lee. Even though I don't even think Trevor Lee was supposed to win the belt or the tag title. So... it's just a wacky situation that, you know, it was essentially they booked themselves into a corner with the, you know, booking a tournament with this kind of structure, having the titles on the line in every single match. So it is what it is, and I think next month they'll correct the course, I want to say, and maybe, you know, steer us right to the right direction again. I'm thinking that Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett have one title defense and not just drop it immediately, and then do the ladder match in the anniversary show, and I guess you save Trevor Lee and Roderick Strong, too, for later on, and maybe actually have Trevor Lee win Bola, even though I think Biff Busick has made a strong case for that. Maybe they'll go with Trevor Lee, and then just, you know, the way everyone wants it, Trevor Lee wins the belt. But in the meantime, he has a PWG tag title run on his way to the world title. That seems to be the case now. So, just a weird, weird night of booking that... you know, shit happens, I get it, and I'm hoping that the June show will correct the course. Even though the June show has already been announced as a Mystery Vortex, which is kind of cool because I love the previous two Mystery Vortexes, the whole concept of a mix. You know, no one knows what the fuck is going to happen. No one knows who's in the building. You don't know what matches are coming, so I find that kind of element exciting. That's why I like this. I like the DDT4s where it's blind bracket because you just don't know what to expect at all, completely, and I like that feeling because... you know, as wrestling fans, we can be cynical sometimes and like to predict things, but not knowing is probably some of the best fun you can have in watching wrestling. So we're going to have the June show and then the anniversary show and then, of course, Bola. Like I said, I think next month everything will be – they'll set the course right in terms of story. I know PWG doesn't necessarily do storylines, but they plant seeds for later on. You know what I mean? Like they know what they're doing in terms of what match to book next. And, I mean, it's they if they had Roderick Strong interfere in the, for the against the World's Cutest Tag Team, it's for a reason. And, you know, they can't just ignore that. So – we'll see how the summer takes, you know, where the summer takes us, and hopefully they'll get back on track, because right now it does not, everything seems completely up in the air in terms of where they're going. But I think the June show will set that course right back on track, so hopefully it will. And that was DDT4, and, yeah, that was, not the best DDT4, a really good show with some great a great debut by Team Tremendous, and then a lot of the young the newer teams from debuting earlier this year, getting over as top talents. I mean Beaver Boys just Beaver Boys just freaking headlined a PWG show. I never thought I would be saying that 6 months ago. So there you have it. Shit happens, and you get four different champs in one night, and three title changes, and shit happens. But I guess that's kind of the beauty of wrestling. Sometimes it's just so unpredictable and so wacky that you just keep coming back for more. So that's DDT4. I'll be back for Mystery Vortex 3, Rock and Shock the Nation. I'll do a review of that. I'll probably do graphic design again like I always do. I think I'll do something Wu-Tang Clan related, because for some people that don't know, and I'm sure some people do know, but Rock and Shock the Nation is a line from I forgot the Mystery of Chex Box. The Mystery of Chess Boxing? I forget what the exact title, but it's basically the chess boxing song from the first Wu-Tang Clan album, 36 Chambers. So, and I know a lot of wrestling, a lot of the wrestlers actually are Wu-Tang Clan fans, and especially Chris Hero. Chris Hero has like so many Wu-Tang Clan related shirts. I'm sure he'll have a fun night and a Wu-Tang Clan related show. So there you have it. I'll be back next month, and thanks for listening.
Guys, thanks to Brian for that. It really is, you know, life's ambition of mine to get over there and watch a PWG show live. You know, atmosphere and everything just sounds outstanding, as well as the great wrestling, of course, and the fans. Yeah, big thanks to Brian for that, and look forward to what he has to give us next month within the next show. So yeah, straight into part two of Dave Green's review of Progress now, the second day of the strong, super strong style 16 tournament. So here we go, boys.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. I done kept it real from the jump.
Hello again, it's Dave Green back here with the second part of the progress review for the Super Strong Style 16 tournament. So this is day two, which took place this past Bank Holiday Monday. Featured 10 matches altogether over the course of a good 5.5 hours. So it was a long show, but as you all tell from my review coming up, that it was a very, very good show. So the first match up on day two was the first of four quarterfinal matches, and it was Will Ospreay taking on Mark Haskins. As you can imagine, really great matchup between these two, really good chemistry, and Haskins went for his leg lock, but Will Ospreay managed to counter into a sunset flip. Really high impact matchup with both men getting some very, very near falls. And interestingly though, Haskins really is getting a positive reaction from the Progress crowd now. Barely anybody is booing him, and he seems to be acknowledging that at the moment now. So I imagine he will be on the good guy side of things in Progress for forthcoming, I would imagine. So the second matchup of the night, Roderick Strong versus Rampage Brown. Now, I know I said in the previous review that I was a bit disappointed with Roderick versus Tommy End. Complete polar opposite on this one. I loved this match. Really fun match. Progress crowd really getting on Roderick for his little boots, as you can imagine. And Rampage really having fun with that, constantly going for his boots. As I said, really, really fun matchup. And another roll-up finish, this time Roderick Strong countering Rampage Brown's pile driver attempt into a jackknife roll-up and getting the win. So my pick eliminated early. Darn. Match three was one I was really looking forward to. Marty Scurll taking on Dave Mastiff. As you can imagine, a really good matchup here. Marty Scurll constantly trying to go for the chicken wing. Mastiff just proving too big a lot of the time. However, Noam Dar entered the fray. Noam, who was due to be in a six-way match later on, but had not received medical clearance due to his concussion that he'd suffered in the matchup the previous night with Dave Mastiff. He came out to cause a distraction on Mastiff, enabling Skrull to use his umbrella, and then locking in the chicken wing for the submission win. Really surprising. After that, Noam and Mastiff cut promos on each other, and basically the issues between them have not been rectified, and there will be more to come, presumably at the next show, Chapter 20. Next up was one of the matches of the weekend, if not the match of the weekend. It was Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Tommaso Ciampa. Really excellent strike match, and Sabre winning with a double armbar type move, Rings of Saturn sort of thing. Anyway, wherever it was very vicious, getting kicked in the head at various points as well, I think, from where I was sitting. But Ciampa giving the verbal submission on that one, and Zack Sabre Jr. went forward into the semi-finals, to take on his old leader's buddy. But Ciampa getting a fantastic reaction from the Progress faithful. After the first interval, it was a history-making time with the first ever Progress Chapter women's match. It was Ginny taking on Pollyanna. These two have been engaging in a big feud at Endeavour, and this is a culmination of that match. It was a no-disqualification match. These two just left it all out in the ring. They had a great reaction from the crowd. They both took some stiff, really horrible shots in this matchup with various weapons they were using. Even Ginny's PA, Elizabeth, got some kendo stick shots to the side of the head. So it was quite a brutal match for all involved. Just when you thought it couldn't continue, these girls just went through everything, kicking out of everything they could throw at each other. And eventually, Pollyanna got the win over Ginny after powerbombing her through a table. And it was a thick table, believe me. These two earned a huge ovation from the crowd, and well deserved. These two really did just leave it all out there, and these two are absolutely future stars in the business. And it was a great match, Ginny and Pollyanna. See it. Next up was the first of the two semi-finals in the tournament: Will Ospreay and Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong turning it up a notch completely at the opening bell, immediately knee striking Ospreay and just throwing him around on the outside. Just was going hell for leather for the first couple of minutes. This matchup actually decimating Ospreay. Ospreay eventually made the comeback and countered the Stronghold submission into a twisting victory roll to get the win and go through to the finals. And Roderick Strong getting a really good reception on the way out as well, even though he'd been playing a really great bad guy all weekend. Great matchup between those two. Second semi-final, Zack Sabre Jr., Mighty Skrull. Don't need to tell you that this was a great match as well. Superb British wrestling at its finest from these two, and a great bit of humour as well. You know, I had a quick chat with Mario after the match during the interval, and he said he had a really good fun match, and it really did look like they were having a great amount of fun. Yeah, this is another great one. You've got to see Zack Sabre Jr. eventually tapping Marty out to the armbar. Next up was the tag title match that had been made the previous night. The Sumerian Death Squad of Tommy End and Michael Dante taking on the Origin of Nathan Cruz and El Ligero, the Progress Tag Team Champions, with Damon Moser in their corner. This went all over the building straight away. No, they didn't get into the ring until after a good solid 10 minutes of brawling. And yeah, I was actually quite lucky. I had been moving around the standing sections for the last couple of matches, and I ended up right at the forefront of the action. So in one of the corners of the back rooms of the ballroom, with Tommy End and Nathan Cruz and Ligero and Dante just absolutely leathering each other, throwing each other into chairs and into the walls, and spin kicks really close up, look absolutely incredible. Anyway, eventually they did actually get into the ring. Tommy End knee struck Mark Paz Parry, for the referee, knocked him out for a good long while. With Origin eventually taking over from that through a bit of cheating, using the tag shields as a weapon. Now, this is where they got interesting. They held up Tommy End for Damon Moser to hit him with a steel chair. But Moser showed compassion and said he had enough and that they could just end the match right now, which allowed Michael Dante on the outside to recover. He hit Moser with a big spear, and that's when SDS took over. They hit Black Mass on El Ligero, and they got the three, and they became officially the third ever Progress Tag Team Champions. After the matchup, Ligero and Cruz beat down Damon Moser and kicked him out of the group. So, interestingly dynamic there, with Cruz and Ligero now being the Origin on their own, and the faces apparently being no more. Well, if you check their Twitter page, maybe not. We'll see where that goes. But anyway, a great match, great wild brawling tag match between these two teams. After the second interval, it was now a five-way match featuring some of the combatants from the first round, the people who didn't get through on the first round of the tournament. It was Big Daddy Volta, Zach Gibson, Damo O'Connor, Eddie Dennis, and Gentleman Jack Gallagher. As you said, imagine a really good matchup between these five. If you like scramble matches, then this is a very good one. Highlight of the matchup: Big Daddy Volta suplexing Eddie Dennis, Gentleman Jack Gallagher, and Damo O'Connor at the same time. You had to see it to believe it. Gibson had a shoulder injury and was constantly running in and out of the match and trying to take advantage of various situations and not getting involved in the action too much. Obviously for reasons for his injury, but it was a very good little cheating ways, and he was very good in this matchup. But anyway, the match eventually ended with Eddie Dennis actually lifting up Damo for his next stop driver and getting the win, and everyone in the crowd got to hear Party Hard one more time, which is fantastic. Finally, match 10, Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr. in the finals of the tournament. This is a classic. Ospreay, the entire time in his previous three matches, had been wanting to go for top rope moves, as he has been trying to do for a while, and not pulling them off. But eventually, after hitting a top rope reverse Hurricane Rana on Sabre, he came down very scarily. I hope he was all right, but he came down very scarily on his head, but he managed to get to the top rope, hit a shooting star press, and then hit a corkscrew shooting star press on Sabre Jr. for the win, and to win the entire tournament. Will Ospreay, the winner of the first ever Super Strong Style 16. So, officially, he now challenges Jimmy Havoc at Chapter 20. Just to wrap up the final angle, Havoc, Robinson, and the Omega came out to beat down Zack and Will, and demand, through the help of his trusty axe, which he decided to bring to the ring this time, that he get a pay rise, that he be added to the bill at the Download Festival, and that the matchup with Ospreay is no DQ. Smallman has added a caveat as well that the London Riots will be in Will's corner to offset any interference. So that is Chapter 20's main event wrapped up. That is Jimmy Havoc, no DQ, against Will Ospreay for the title, with Regression and the Riots involved at ringside. And also the return of the Thunderbuster match. So, what can I say about Super Strong Style 16? Day one, good show, consistent with the usual standard of Progress Wrestling. Some great matchups. As I said, me personally, a little disappointed with Roderick versus Tommy, but that's just my personal opinion. Everyone else I spoke to loved it, so I'm sure you will. So day one, great show. Day two was the best wrestling show I have ever seen. You have to see day two at least. Watch the entire tournament, but day two as a standalone event is not just British wrestling. I'm talking any wrestling show I've ever seen. Everything. From the big stuff from WWE, from Ring of Honor, TNA, to down to everything I've seen in the British shores as well, from IPW to Rev Pro to Southside. This show was the absolute best I've ever seen, and you have to watch this show. I really hope Progress gets some international recognition for this as well, because they've just excelled themselves, and this just day two just had every matchup could have been a main event somewhere. They were all excellent matches, every one of them. The only worry I have is how on earth they're going to top this. I hope they do. I'm sure they will. But for now, Super Strong Style 16 is a must-see event, and day two is the show of the year so far, in my opinion. So that's it from me. Thanks very much to Stu for letting me do the review. Also for letting me do the results on Twitter. I hope you enjoyed the results that came in as well, if you were following that. You can follow me on Twitter at DeGrino, and I'm on the Facebook fan page quite a lot, so you'll see me on there, I'm sure. But for now, that's me, Dave Green. Thanks very much to Stuart, and thanks very much to you for listening. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Noam Dar, the Great Khali's best pal, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner.
Back, guys. Big thanks to Dave there for doing that. It's got you to miss that two-day tournament. You know, sounded really outstanding, and like I say, I can't wait to watch it back on DVD. Let me finally get the DVDs at the end of June, start of July. The next show, I think it's July 26th, sold out in 21 minutes. 700 tickets sold in 21 minutes. It's just amazing. I think that must be a record for Progress of selling out so quick. Not too much announced so far, but yeah, you know, one thing for sure, it's going to be a really good show, and anyone that's got tickets to that is very lucky indeed. Obviously some tickets might become available via people who can't go and all that, and obviously, you know, Progress have got their certain little site for returning tickets, so anyone that hasn't got a ticket and does want to go to the show, keep an eye on progresswrestling.com. Look for the link for their little mini site where you can hopefully get hold of some tickets in the future as the day rolls around. Undecided if I'm going to do that myself yet. You know, it's the day before my wedding anniversary, so I'm not sure if I want to trounce all the way down to London for a wrestling show on the eve of something like that. So we'll have to wait and see. So yeah, guys, that's it for this week. Like I say, not too much for me, not too much news. For news, obviously, we have Michael Jolly over on the IndieCorner.com. He does a weekly roundup of any independent news here in the UK that's worthwhile. And obviously, over there on the Indie Corner, we have interviews going up on a regular basis. Of course, Matt Clarkson still provides loads of interviews for us. And now also we've got Adam McCain as well, who's been doing a couple as well with some US indie guys associated with the PWS promotion. And Adam also, you know, reviews the PWS TV show over on the on the IndieCorner.com. So yeah, keep an eye out over there. A couple of things going up there every now and then. Some good stuff, some good columns and that. So just to close, yeah, get some plugs out of the way. Follow us on Twitter at The Indie Corner. Like the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheIndieCorner. You can also support us with the running costs of the site and the podcast, you know, because you know I can't do it for free. It does cost me, you know, not a small fortune, but it costs me so a bit of money just to run the site and the podcast and that. So if you can head over to the indiecorner.bigcartel.com, you know, there you'll see some British wrestling DVDs, a few like American shoot interviews as well. All originals, none of them are copies or nothing like that, all originals. Whereas, you know, anything that's bought from there, I pump the money back into the cost of the running of the site. And plus, obviously, you get your hands on some good British wrestling and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you could do that, that'd be all good. So, yeah, guys, that's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll have a show next week and endeavour to try and get an interview. Because I like to do a show when I've got an interview, to be honest. But, like I say, with the two reviews coming in this week from the two shows from either side of the pond, you know, obviously, I needed to put them out. But, yeah, ideally, I like to do a podcast if I have an interview. So, like I say, I'll be trying to get them if I can. So until next week, guys, or the next time there's a podcast, take care and keep supporting independent wrestling.